Perpetual Notion Machine for Thursday, June 9th, 2016. I'm your host, Dennis Schaefer. The term bird brain usually refers to someone who's not very smart. But birds are smarter than you think. They can design and make tools, solve complex puzzles, count, store food, and remember where it is months later, and have complicated social interactions and communication skills. A new book has just been released that references research from around the world on the intelligence of many bird species. The book is called The Genius of Birds by science writer Jennifer Ackerman. And tonight we have a few clips of our conversation with Jennifer. Jennifer, welcome to the show. First off, I was just wondering about what the criteria for intelligence in birds might be. Are there any common characteristics that make maybe some birds smarter than others?
Yes, there are common characteristics. So there is a kind of loose correlation between brain size and intelligence in birds. And one of the scientists that I spent time with devised the first intelligence scale for birds. It's kind of an IQ scale. And he looked at the behavior of birds in the wild, and he was looking for examples of birds doing innovative, novel behaviors, smart new things in the wild. And what he did was to look at, through I think it was about 75 years of reports in the ornithological journals, and looking for these examples of smart behavior. And then he sorted them by family. And he came up with a kind of scale of intelligence. And at the top are the birds that you might expect, the crows and ravens, magpies, parrots are up there, hawks and falcons, and also some little birds like finches, tits, and sparrows. And at the bottom are you know, emus and nightjars and some other birds. But then he looked at whether there was a correlation between these smart behaviors and the size of a bird's brain, and there is a correlation. So there's a variety of intelligence in the bird world, just as there is in the human world, and you know, some birds lie, all birds lie along that continuum.
Yeah, you mentioned the size of the brain, and you talk about that in your book. Does size make a difference? Because it doesn't seem like it, that smaller birds have smaller brains but can be just as smart.
Right. So what matters is the ratio of brain size to body size. And some birds have brains that are really surprisingly large for their body size. Chickadees, for instance, have very large brains for their body size. So do crows and other corvids. And you know, we fall into that category too. And the other thing is that while bird brains may be small overall, it turns out that they're really packed densely with neurons in all the kind of right places. So they really punch well above their weight in terms of their capacity for information processing.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Is the actual processing any different than, say, humans? Or do birds have a better brain functioning ability? Maybe the neurons fire more quickly or something.
Well, their neurons are like our neurons, and in fact they use the same neurochemicals to communicate between them. And they also have very similar pathways between neurons that we have, and that's where scientists think that the connectivity in the brain is where intelligence resides. But they do have a different brain organization than we do. So their neurons are not organized into nice, neat layers the way ours are. We have this 7-layered cortex. They have a cortex-like structure, but their neurons are organized into, like the cloves in a garlic bulb. They're sort of in clusters. So it's, some scientists compare it to, they're two different processing systems, like a Mac and a PC. So they have different ways of processing information, but the outcome can be very similar.
Okay, moving on. I was wondering what motivates birds into learning new behavior. Is it mostly for survival purposes?
Yes. So some birds seem to be very curious. One of the birds that I think is remarkable in this way is the kea, which is a New Zealand bird. And it is constantly kind of getting into trouble because it just likes to explore new things and new food sources, and it likes to play. And so there seem to be some species anyway that are just curious. And so they do new innovative things because, you know, they're sort of driven to in this way. Others are more focused on finding new food sources and exploiting them in new ways. You know, so that's more of a survival kind of aspect.
There is one thing I've always been curious about when it comes to birds, and I don't know if you can help me with this, and I apologize if you can't. I live in an apartment building on the second floor. I have a bird feeder on my deck that attracts a few different kinds of birds, mostly finches. And I may be thinking in terms of human feelings, but I wonder if the birds are aware that I'm the one supplying them with their food. And maybe even more importantly, if they even appreciate it. You wrote in your book about gift-giving birds. They seem to understand about who humans are and that humans can't supply them with things that they need. Is that true?
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. And I can give you some examples. First of all, birds do have a sense of reciprocity. So they will share with others if they think that the other will share with them. So they have a sense of reciprocity and also a sense of fairness. They don't like to do a task or a reward that's lesser than a peer is receiving. So there's a sense of fairness there. But as far as your feeder goes, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there's a researcher named Alex Taylor who works with New Caledonian crows. And one of the crows that he worked with, a bird named Laura, came to understand that it was Alex who was providing her with food, even though he hid his he was actually putting some meat on a cork, and every time he did it, he hid it from her, so she couldn't actually see him doing it. But she came to understand that his presence was associated with this meat, and so I think that there was quite quite a sophisticated understanding of cause and effect there. And then there are also these examples of people who feed crows find that they are left little gifts, little baubles, little trinkets by the crows. There's a story in the book about a young girl who started feeding crows when she was very young. And the crows would leave her all kinds of things. She has this immense collection of things that the crows have left for her. And, you know, you have to sort of think that there is some kind of sense of well, you've given me this, and so I'll give you that. And you know, it's not something we really thought birds were capable of, but clearly they are.
Well, let me ask you this. Which bird is most intelligent?
Well, I would argue that the New Caledonian crow is possibly the smartest bird on the planet. It not only is a champion problem solver, but it makes its own tools, which is really quite remarkable in the animal world. And I could go on about the New Caledonian crow. Parrots, I think, are also the parrot family is very intelligent. I think it was brought to the public's attention by Alex, who was the African gray parrot that Irene Pepperberg studied. And Alex, you know, acquired this immense vocabulary of words, not just that he could mimic, but that he could understand the meaning of and respond coherently to questions that were asked of him. So I would say corvids and parrots are probably at the top of the scale, but there are many different kinds of intelligence, and that was one of the things that interested me in the book. I wanted to look at, you know, the Einsteins of the bird world, like the New Caledonian crow and the African gray parrot, but also at the smaller but very bright birds like tits and chickadees and finches and even, to a degree, pigeons and some species that you might not expect can be bright in many ways.
So birds have their own different kinds of intelligence suited to each different species.
Yes, that's certainly true. Like, for instance, the chickadee has a very sophisticated communication system. It's also generally a very bright bird, very bold and innovative. But it has this really fantastic system of communication that uses its calls to convey its own location to another bird or to convey information about where food is located. And also, this is the part that really interested me, was they have a system of warning about predators. So their calls indicate both the type of predator and the magnitude of the threat that predator represents. So the number of bees at the end of the chickadee's call indicates the predator's size and hence the degree of its threat.
Wow. I had no idea that was possible in birds. So then, based on like chickadees, do bird song or vocal communication then provide meaning? Is there in the variation, does that indicate certain things, like maybe a language, perhaps?
Well, in some ways, it does have the characteristics of language, and birds learn their songs the way we learn to speak. So there's some similarities there, which I'll get into. But one of the recent discoveries about a bird, the Japanese great tit, was discovered that the order of its notes actually determines the meaning. And this is the first evidence in a wild animal for what's called compositional syntax. It's something that our language has. And so the bird has 10 different notes in its call. And if you play those notes in a different order, you elicit different behaviors from the bird, like scanning for predators, to actually moving toward the source of the call. It's really, it's amazing. And we're just beginning to parse these really subtle things going on in bird calls and songs.
That's absolutely amazing. That's what I was kind of wondering is could we like decipher a language, sort of like trying to translate the Rosetta Stone? Could we maybe come up with a bird language at all eventually?
I think they're saying? That would be wonderful. I think, you know, they've learned to speak our language, at least in the case of the African gray parrot.
That's right. They do.
For PNM, this is Jake Walters.
Thanks to all of you for listening. And this has been another edition of the Perpetual Notion Machine, brought to you by the Madison Science Radio Collective. Jennifer Ackerman, and our engineer was Melvin Hinton.